This episode is brought to you by Capital One. There are no guarantees in football. One minute you're on for an easy win, the next it's nail-biting penalties. But with Capital One, you can find out if you're guaranteed for a credit card in just 60 seconds and it won't affect your credit score. That's one good thing. Search Capital One Quick Check to check if you're eligible today.
34.9% APR representative variable. T's and C's apply.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, July 24th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. After securing college players' likeness rights for the first time, Electronic Arts brought 11,000 players and 134 stadiums to digital life in just 3 months with the use of new tech. We'll explain. And then, Amazon's Echo devices brought its Alexa voice assistant into millions of homes, but it hasn't generated a lot of revenue for the company. In fact, Amazon has lost tens of billions of dollars on its devices business as a whole. WSJ reporter Dana Mattioli is going to join us to discuss the obscure accounting metric that led to this. But first, Electronic Arts, or EA, released a new college video game last week. And for the first time, it includes replicas of real players. To create these likenesses, the video game maker relied on artificial intelligence technology. Here to tell us more is our reporter, Sarah Needleman. So Sarah, this wasn't generative AI like DALL-E or Stable Diffusion. How did this technology work?
Sure. What it basically did is it took photographs that were submitted to EA from the players' schools and automatically turned them into 3D characters that were pretty close to exactly what they wanted. In the beginning, artists would come in and make some touch-ups, but they used the learnings from those touch-ups. So for every image that came thereafter, the program would learn from it and come up with better results. So by the end, there's very little to be done manually. It was pretty dynamic results that they got straight from the computer, straight from the AI. And so the technology EA built in-house made it possible for them to do that on a really large scale, because we're talking about 134 different stadiums, each with their own details, like I mentioned. And then we're talking about over 11,000 college football athletes that they had to get into this game. And on top of that, they had a very short window of only about 3 months to get it all done. They didn't have a lot of time because colleges don't set their rosters until the late spring. And they often change significantly anyway. And they wanted to release the game in July because college football season starts in August. And normally they release their Madden NFL game in August. So they had to spread it out a little bit, which gave them a really short period of time to get it all done. It wouldn't have been possible without that AI technology they developed in-house.
Yeah, as you mentioned, this isn't just the players, it's also the stadiums and all these other details. How did they go about getting that information and getting it all into the game?
Well, it was a combination of this AI tech that they built for the players' photographs to turn them into characters. So that helped save an enormous amount of time. They had other in-house tech for scanning 3D objects and adding details. And some of it was just old-fashioned technology, motion capture technology, for example. They had an employee actually go down on all fours and pretend to be the bull that is the mascot of the University of Texas. And so it was a combination of all these things. But just to give you a sense of how enormous this project was, they reached the maximum number of cells possible on a Google Sheets spreadsheet, which is 10 million, while trying to keep track of all the data that it collected and made for this game. So we're talking about a really, really big project here.
EA canceled its old college football game in 2013 in the aftermath of a class action lawsuit involving its use of college basketball players' likeness in another one of its sports titles. Sarah, what decisions did they have to make in the intervening years to be ready to make this new college football video game?
Well, it was really a leap of faith because when they announced the game, the NCAA hadn't yet made it okay or possible for student athletes to get compensated for their likeness. The tea leaves were leaning in that direction, but EA didn't know for sure that was going to happen. They could have, and they said they would have, gone ahead and made it even if they couldn't replicate the likeness of the players. But it just certainly wouldn't have been as dynamic a game without such detail. They just hoped that it would come in handy, and they figured, you know, if not, maybe we could use it for our Madden or some other games down the line. But it was really a gamble. Luckily for them, it paid off.
Did the players get paid for their images?
Yes, they did. They each got paid $600, plus they got a free copy of the deluxe version of the game, which is valued at $100. And then some players were compensated additionally for being on the cover and also for promoting it on social media.
All right, that was our reporter, Sarah Needleman. Coming up, Amazon set prices for its Echo speakers and other devices low, expecting them to generate income elsewhere. We'll tell you why it hasn't worked after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Amazon launched its Echo smart home devices with Alexa voice assistant in 2014, and the company is losing a lot of money on them. CEO Andy Jassy is trying to plug that hole and move away from the Amazon accounting tactic that helped create it. Here to tell us more about this is our reporter Dana Mattioli. So Dana, Echo devices are relatively cheap. What was Amazon's plan to make money from them?
So Amazon's plan when they launched nearly a decade ago was to get the products into homes and then worry about making money later. It sort of followed the Gillette playbook for the shaving giant, where you sell the product, which is the razor, for a low price, either at loss or at cost, with the hopes that later on people buy lots of razor blades that you could mark up and get profits from. The problem with Amazon's devices business is that it hasn't really played out that way, especially with the Echo. The Echoes are typically sold at or below cost.
What are people using Echoes for?
For the most part, people use them on free apps like checking the weather, asking Alexa the time, asking Alexa to set her timer. And someone I spoke to within the org said, you know, they worry that they hired 10,000 people to build a smart timer, essentially.
Okay, so, you know, part of the reason for this situation is an accounting metric called downstream impact. Can you explain what that is?
So in 2011, Amazon has this whole team of economists. They have tons of PhDs and economists that work on different models for them. And that team came up with something called downstream impact. And it was a way of assigning value to different Amazon teams and products in a non-standard accounting way. So basically, in addition to product having a P&L, they have a DSI, and the DSI assigns a financial value to a product or a service based on how customers spend within Amazon's ecosystem after they buy it.
Why did Amazon begin using this metric?
Amazon is this vast company with lots of different arms and businesses. And when you hear Jeff Bezos speak about it, he says if they have data that if Amazon wins a Golden Globe because of its streaming business, that customer will then buy more shoes on Amazon.com. They think that the businesses are interrelated and that there is some sort of connection between using one business and shopping within the ecosystem or spending elsewhere. And this metric was designed to track that and assign value to different behaviors and products.
So how has downstream impact been working for device sales?
Well, there are some clear ways that downstream impact does actually work. So with the Kindle e-reader, the digital reading device, that's a profitable product within Amazon's devices arm. And there's a clear connection between someone buying the e-reader and then buying digital books on the e-reader. And what's interesting is e-books are not part of the Kindle business. That's part of the ebook retail business. So when someone buys a Kindle and then buys those ebooks, they're given a cut of that revenue from the ebook, which makes total sense. The problem is that DSI really broke down when it comes to the Echo speakers. So many people have these devices in their home. There's 500 million Alexa-enabled devices in people's homes worldwide. But many of those people are not using it to spend money, and it's not influencing their behavior elsewhere on Amazon's ecosystem. And this was a big source of losses for the company.
So how is Amazon's devices business, which includes not only Echo, but you mentioned Kindle and also the Fire TV stick and Ring doorbells, how is it doing overall?
I was able to view internal documents that Amazon does not share with shareholders. And it showed that between 2017 and 2021, Amazon had more than $25 billion in losses from its devices business.
Dina, what has the company said about this?
The company said that Amazon's devices division has established numerous profitable businesses and it's well-positioned to continue doing so.
You've spoken to current and former employees of Amazon's devices unit. What do they say about the unit's plans for making money?
So what's interesting here is that the devices business was a bit of a pet project for founder Jeff Bezos. But 3 years ago, Jeff Bezos stepped down as CEO of Amazon, and he passed on the reins to one of his lieutenants, Andy Jassy. Andy Jassy was the CEO of Amazon's very profitable cloud computing division, and he came into the new job as the CEO of the whole company with this eye toward profitability. And once he started digging into the different businesses and doing this profitability review, he started to have more of a skeptical view toward downstream impact or DSI. And he wanted the devices businesses to be profitable before using DSI as a crutch. And what we've seen happen is that, you know, device teams that were working on products without a clear path of profitability were disbanded. More mature devices products were told to get a revenue stream in place. And as soon as later this month, the company will actually launch a new sort of Alexa with a paid subscription tier where they could start trying to monetize Alexa. There's a project inside Amazon. It's codenamed Project Banyan, like the tree. And they're working on something called a Remarkable Alexa. And this will use more generative AI for Alexa instead of the way that we've been interacting with Alexa in the past, where it's more simple commands that she could respond to. This will be more generative, which is where the industry is moving. And as of my reporting, you know, Amazon is still thinking about what they could charge for that sort of service.
That was our reporter, Dana Mattioli. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.